I want to begin this morning with a poem by Palestinian-American poet Naomi Shahab Nye, which is, to me, what communion is all about. Wandering around the Albuquerque airport terminal after learning my flight had been delayed 4 hours, I heard an announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of Gate A4 understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, one pauses these days. Gate A4 was my own gate. I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian embroidered dress, just like my grandma wore, was crumpled on the floor, wailing. "Help," said the flight attendant. "Talk to her. What is her problem?" We told her the flight was going to be late, and she did this. I stooped to put my arm around the woman and spoke halting Arabic. The minute she heard any word she knew, however poorly used, she stopped crying. She thought the flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for a major medical treatment the next day. And I said, no, we're fine. You'll get there, just later. Who's picking you up? Let's call him. We called her son. I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother till we got on the plane and ride next to her. She talked to him. And then we called her other sons, just for the fun of it. And then we called my dad, and he and she spoke for a while in Arabic and found out that, of course, they had 10 shared friends. And then I thought, just for the heck of it, why not call some Palestinian poets I know and let them chat with her? This all took up 2 hours. She was laughing a lot by then, telling of her life, patting my knee, answering questions. She had pulled a sack of homemade mamou cookies, these little powdered sugar crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, from her bag, and she was offering them to the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined one. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the mom from California, the lovely woman from Laredo, we were all covered with the same powdered sugar and smiling. There is no better cookie. And then the airline broke out free apple juice from huge coolers, and two little girls from our flight ran around serving it, and they were covered in powdered sugar too. And I noticed my new best friend. By now we were holding hands. She had a potted plant poking out of her bag. Some medicinal thing with green furry leaves, such an old country tradition. Always carry a plant, always stay rooted to somewhere. And I looked around that gate of late and weary ones, and I thought, this is the world I want to live in, the shared world. Not a single person at that gate, once the crying of confusion stopped, seemed apprehensive about any other person. They took the cookies. I wanted to hug all those other women too. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. Food is a holy thing. It's also a necessary thing, right? We need it to live. Scientifically, we know that we need to have a certain amount of calories with the proper ratio of proteins, carbohydrates, fruits, and vegetables. We know that too many sweets or too much fat can lead to trouble. We know that balance is important. Food feeds and nourishes our body, but it also feeds our hearts. It connects us to each other. We heard this in the poem. Food is a holy thing. Today is World Communion Sunday. Today is the day that we celebrate that the church is more than just a local community of believers. It's more than just Percy Mennonite. It's more than just Mosaic Conference or Mennonite Church USA. We are part of the church universal. We are part of the followers of Jesus Christ around the world. And what better to remember that today than with food, than with these communion elements. So today I want to talk about food. I want to talk about food in Palestine, the holiness of gathering over food, why food is nourishing for the body and soul. Now, I just returned from Palestine last week, and returning is always a very tender time for me. So I'm going to admit up front, I feel like this sermon is a total mess. And maybe it feels like the kitchen after you've cooked. So I hope you'll bear with me as I talk about this place and these people that I love in the context of communion. So every year when I travel to Palestine, I bring chocolate for the community peacemaker team staff in the West Bank city of Hebron. And not the cheap Hershey chocolate, the kind that I actually love, but I'm talking about the good stuff, the dark chocolate, the Giardelli's chocolate filled with caramel or jelly, the truffles, the chocolate with peanut butter, which is a real novelty in Palestine. This year, my friend Melissa and I traveled to Palestine from the Jordanian crossing. It's an extra few steps of travel compared to our usual trip through the Tel Aviv airport, but right now, with bombs falling in Israel, the trip through Jordan is much safer. So to get to the border crossing, our friend Hannah called her taxi driver friend, who picked us up and tossed our luggage on top of his car. Now, we didn't think about the chocolate stored in the suitcase until we got to the CPT office and realized it had all melted in the hot desert sun. The box of truffles, our friends in Palestine joked, was the richest hot chocolate they'd ever tasted. The chocolate's condition was less than optimal. We had to freeze it and then chisel apart the chocolate and toffee or the chocolate and peanut butter to separate it. And the Giardelli's was completely mushed. But every morning when we were there, when the CPT member, my friend Baha, arrived at the office, he would make Arabic coffee. And when you combine the thick, bitter coffee with this chocolate, it was a sacrament. It was a holy moment of gathering together to be present to each other, to look each other in the eyes, to share our joys and tears together as we prepared for a day of work. Arabic coffee and melted chocolate, a sacrament. There at the table, we could share a bit of joy, even though the assault on Palestinians was growing by the day. A few days after I arrived in Hebron, I was invited to a local family's home for Friday lunch. The family was honored to have me there because they knew I had done some fundraising to find them a new place to live after their home in the South Hebron Hills was demolished by the military last year. They made this amazing, delicious meal of chicken and rice, and I know it was an expense for them. I'm sure they don't eat meat every day, but they made sure I ate first, and delighted in watching me take the first bite of roasted chicken along with the rice and slivered almonds. And of course, it was absolutely wonderful. And of course, I made a big fuss about it in my broken, terrible Arabic. And of course, they were delighted. This meal was holy, sacramental. Despite the language differences, we learned about each other. I would show them photos of my family, and they would show me photos of theirs. We saw each other as human and beloved. We experienced this sacramental moment through food and conversation in broken English and Arabic. A few days later, I took a trip north to Ramallah to visit my daughter's best friend's family. Now, I have never met this family before this trip, but we wanted to meet because our daughters are joined at the hip in college. So we're already family, right? But I arrived in Ramallah after a 3.5-hour drive. If it weren't for the occupation, the trip from Hebron to Ramallah would have taken less than 45 minutes. but it took an hour to get through the checkpoints in Hebron. And then because Palestinians aren't allowed to drive on the main highway, my taxi driver had to take this long, circuitous road through small villages, up and down roads meant for Bedouins and their sheep herds. It was not a trip meant for cars. It was a long and difficult adventure. But when I finally arrived at the Aladdin's family home, they filled me up with fresh juice and sweets. And for the next 2 days, they fed me nonstop. They were upset when I said I couldn't eat anymore. They fed me zucchini stuffed with rice, bread baked with za'atar spices, rice and lamb, pistachio ice cream, and of course, lots of coffee. And while I was visiting the Aladdin's, Israel began exploding pagers and cell phones of Lebanese leaders in their resistance movement. Watching Al Jazeera is a national pastime in Palestine, so we watched the news and sighed deeply together at what we were seeing. Our meals together were a sacrament. They were holy, not just because the meals were made with love and more delicious than anything I'd yet eaten. They were holy because we were sharing a common experience together. We were all broken by what we were seeing and hearing on the news, and we were brought back together around food. On my last night in Palestine, my friend Melissa and I took the Community Peacemaker Team's group of Palestinians out for a meal. We were given money by friends and told to spare no expense in spoiling them. The delegation chose a rooftop restaurant in Hebron with a view of the city. We each ordered a delicious dish, and then we shared our meals with each other. As we watched the sun set over a large Palestinian flag in the center of Hebron. And we laughed, we took photos of each other, we shared appreciation for each other. I told them how proud I was of them and how much I'd seen them grow in this last year. And of course, we cried a little bit together. It felt strange to laugh while bombs were falling on Gaza and Lebanon. But it also felt like this laughter and joy came from a very deep place. That laughter was in defiance of war and occupation. So while we shared food and lemon mint drinks and shisha, we celebrated that we were alive and that this brave group of Palestinians had survived this last year doing the most difficult work of their lives. We celebrated that they could continue to bear witness, even when they were scared and tired. We celebrated that hate had not killed them. We celebrated that they were so loved. My theology of communion is this: we are brought together around the most basic elements of life. We are brought together around the table and invited to remember Jesus Christ when we eat and drink together. We are invited to remember the stories of Jesus and all that he did for us in his life, death, and resurrection. We are invited to gather around the table to remember, and to be made whole. Food is such a powerful thing. It is holy. It is sacramental. It is transformative. And on this World Communion Sunday, we remember that God's beloveds are brought together when we share food, when we look each other in the eyes, when we see a bit of the holy in strangers and friends. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. Amen.